pase. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, Dwayne, how's your Tuesday morning going so far?
Second straight day, I'm joining you from the Love Actually collection at the Gladstone Hotel. It's the last day that you can see this beautiful collection of wedding photos if you're in the Toronto area.
Hashtag sponsored.
My favorite is Corey and Becky's wedding, so there you go.
Corey and Becky. This show brought to you by Corey and Becky when they tied the knot. Now, moving on, Dwayne.
Last year, I think.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, they're still together. That's always the question when I'm looking at wedding pictures in an art gallery form. Moving on to soccer, a bit more relaxed day. You know, we've been working so hard last week. A lot of interviews, great stuff, great previews that actually hold up after week one, which is always my worry, Dwayne. We worked so hard for previews and predictions. And after week one, usually it's out of the window. Thank God we didn't go all out with Atlanta. But a little more of a quiet time, which gives us conversation time. And it's fun to just go back and talk about the sport we love. But first of all, DC United made it official. He's been trialing for a couple of days. And Pipa Higuain is now back in Major League Soccer with DC United. Dwayne. I think Dwayne can't hear me for some reason.
Kevin, you're cutting it out for some reason.
Okay, so I'm just going to call back Dwayne in a second, and we're going to continue this right away. But until then, Pipa Higuain, like I was mentioning, is back in Major League Soccer for the second time around. He was with Columbus for the longest time. And he has been signed by DC United. And what does that move mean? Is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be more of what I would call a substitute? That is the big question, and we'll know more. I'm going to try to get back, Dwayne, in 1 second. But I do feel that it is a good signing with a very short amount of risk for DC United. Because what is it going to cost DC? It's not going to cost that whole much to have a player like Pipa Higuain on their roster. It's not going to cost him a DB spot, barely going to be a TAM player. So I do think it's a worthwhile signing by DC United to have Federico Higuain as a depth player for them. But now that Dwayne is back with us, Dwayne, what is your thought on Federico Higuain joining DC United?
Certainly it's an interesting move in terms of a very established MLS player that has joined a team that needed a little bit more of something, for sure. Kind of surprising, just like you saw Will Trapp leave Columbus this year. Now we're seeing Higuain leave, and that's an odd combination to consider that both of those players, which were such a key and massive part of the massive over the past few years, right? It's kind of weird to see them go away. He's on the tail end, clearly, and when he left the league, I sort of thought that would be it for him in Major League Soccer. For him to come back now is a bit surprising to me, but I get it. I am always one to give the benefit of the doubt to a signing of a veteran player that has MLS experience, because simply put, you know that they're going to be okay in a league that has a lot of quirks. It's not, you know, there's something special, but there's something special about any league, right? That you have to fit in that league. It doesn't matter if you're in the Latvian league or if you're in the Major League Soccer. You have to find a fit. You know, maybe a player that works in, you know, Estonia is not going to work here, or vice versa. That's my point. So this is a player that has worked here. It's a team in DC that has a need for some top-end offensive talent, and he has certainly provided that in the past. So I will give it the benefit of the doubt, although the caveat is that, you know, this is a guy that's on the wrong side of his career.
Yeah, no, for sure. Father Time, as we always say, is undefeated in the world of sports. Some players push it to its limit. There's Gordie Howe and Jaromir Jagr, and then there's Ryan Leafs also out there. Federico Higuain is, for me, an insurance policy for DC United. You do not necessarily need to overuse him. He doesn't need to start every game, if any. He could be your substitute late in game, coming in with some tactical awareness, technical abilities, and still some magic on set pieces. Which, guess what, Dwayne? Set pieces is one of the themes so far in Major League Soccer after week one. A Federico Higuain used for, maybe not as a specialist, that role doesn't exist yet. It might in the future. Set piece specialist might be something we see later on in the world of soccer. We're still there. We're not there yet, sorry. But maybe Higuain is an insurance policy if any big injuries happen in your midfield, either as a more defensive role or either as an offensive threat later in the game, and could help you late in the game. If you get a set piece at the 80th minute, you sub him in, and maybe he has some magic left in his right foot.
I'm just imagining now, you know, like in volleyball where they have the defensive specialist that comes in for defensive plays, wears a different colored uniform. I'm just imagining in soccer having someone in a different colored uniform that runs on the pitch for free kicks. It's the defensive specialist. And then I'm also imagining the connection that they would have in certain traditional aspects or traditional markets of this sport if they were to make a change like that. But yes, to get back to the point in hand, for sure, you know, there are going to be moments. I think it's a savvy signing. I am surprised that you know, Columbus did not want to keep him, but I think it's a savvy signing for a team that after they saw themselves play in week one, realized that, you know, or in preseason, realized they probably needed a little bit more if they were going to even match what they did last year.
Now, let's continue on the savant signing, maybe, or not. Atlanta United now will have to replace a Josef Martinez, and Dwayne did explain on yesterday's show the rules of the CBA and Major League Soccer and the salary cap to have that relief. What would it take? What would that signing look like? But if there's still space outside of that, you can probably still go all out. And that's kind of what's alluded to. Now, those are rumors. There might be nothing to it. It was on MLSsoccer.com, and it's been to a couple of the places, but more as an idea, as a philosophy of, oh, who could it be? Who could come and take over Josef Martinez's place? Names like Olivier Giroud are starting to swirl around. I think Olivier Giroud has been linked to every team meeting a striker in the world of football right now because he's not playing with Chelsea. What is your thought on big names that could replace him? Will we even see something like it happened? Or is it just us talking and having fun with names and putting him in the headlines?
There's probably a bit of that for sure, but to take the topic a little more seriously, as a reminder, yesterday we outlined on the show what the emergency replacement player policy was, and basically if they shut Martinez down for the year, they can then get salary relief on him up to $250,000. That's the TLDR of it. So you'd have to sign a player for $250,000 if you were going to not really have it adversely affect the cap any further than it has. So if you're talking about a player like Giroud, I don't think he's coming for $250,000. Now, you might be able to buy that down a little bit because it's cap hit, not an actual salary. So maybe they did have some TAM floating around there. So maybe you can get him in for around $500,000. Even that seems like an exaggeration, but maybe if it's a half season, $500,000, 1 year contract situation, maybe. I don't know. It could be possible. Now, the thing I'll say about Giroud, I think he's a very good player, but he's not a striker that's like for like in terms of Martinez. He doesn't have the same nose for Nat, coming down in levels like he would be. I'm not sure he would score at the level that Martinez did, but then again, in the history of Major League Soccer, but literally no one has.
No, exactly. Yeah. A very rare club where maybe just Vela and BWT in his bright years were part of. So, no, I do agree, and I do think it might be wise for Atlanta to not even go that route. Just go with it. Take it day by day. It's Major League Soccer, after all, and yes, it's 2020. We're moving on to a different time, but it's still March. It was February just a couple of days ago. It's March 3rd. I don't think panicking and moving a move, like making a move of this magnitude of spending millions of dollars on transfer, because Chelsea's not going to let him go free for now. maybe this summer. So there's a lot of things including into it, but maybe not even going after a player of that stature to replace Jose Martinez might be the best way. Just look at your young players. Is Adam Jahn the answer? I wish, I hope. I always liked the player since his San Jose days when he was just breaking through into Major League Soccer back in his pillow feet days. But I do feel that maybe it is time not to panic and see how it goes for a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, with Young, you're looking at a player that he's 29. You know, what you see in the box is what you're going to get inside. He's not going to suddenly become a 20-goal scorer in Major League Soccer. He's more of a hold-up forward. But certainly you have him there, and you have him there for a reason. I think he was there to compliment. So I would be looking. I mean, the Daniel Sturridge stuff, to put that real quickly, throw that out. I mean, he's got a betting suspension, for God's sake. So I wouldn't really be going down that route. And I don't think he's particularly at the point of his career where he's going to be effective anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not bring this, no offense, but if the problems are already, like, you see them and he's already banned, why even go there? Of course, you never know. It could pan out and everyone deserves a second chance. There's also that aspect
to
it.
Yeah, just to finish. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I actually was looking at, you know, Atlanta 2 roster this morning, poking around a little bit within that, and they don't have anyone that jumps out at me. But then again, I'm not, you know, I watch a lot of this sport, but I don't watch a lot of Atlanta 2 games. So
back in the day, we used to watch USL when we had USL Radio, which one day I'm probably going to write a book on the history and the genesis of the show, which USL Radio was part of. We had more time, but there was like 20 less teams in USL also back in like 2015.
Yeah, it was the best intro we did, I think. I'm partial to the Five Rings too.
Yeah, Five Rings. Of course, this Soccer Today one is the most known one and the most recognizable, I guess, and the most. It's ours, so there's no copyright infringement like the one with USL Radio, which was done by Queen, so I could not play it on air anymore.
We wouldn't have much of a leg to stand on when we had the YouTube copyright infringement claim on there. Unlike with our Five Rings, where we keep having the Confederation Cup from Russia try to put a claim against us for some reason, which is, anyway,
full disclosure.
That's fine.
Full disclosure, there's like two companies now that... the way we do our graphics and stuff, it's similar to others, but it's not the same. And it's all about algorithm and bots and AI, right? So there's a lot of people flagging, well, a lot of people, like you mentioned, Confederations Cup and one other that flagged it. And every time I'm like, you can flag it as you want. I'm going to dispute it and I'm going to win it. Still undefeated, Dwayne. But yeah, moving on to more... In our little bits and bites type of show, before we go to a break, we'll come back with more serious talk. We'll maybe even touch back on last weekend. The Canadian Premier League camps have opened, and I like what I'm seeing this year. It's a bit more individualistic, a bit more every team for himself. You were all together last year in the Dominican Republic. I like what Ottawa's doing. Why not just go to Madrid? Just meet your parents, have a family dinner. Meet some new players and announce some signings later this week.
This is my new North American boyfriend/girlfriend, mom and dad here. Meet them and help them out, please. They need money.
Exactly. Like, hey, we just got engaged and we're going to get married like in 3 weeks and we need money. Can you help us out? And the currency in this conversation is called soccer players.
Exactly. No, yeah, quickly before we go to take that break and come back. I like that the league has addressed some of its issues. If you want a little bit of a plug for Two Solitudes here, I'll throw it in now. We had Paul Solitary a week and a half ago now. Paul Solitary, of course, the all-time cap leader for Canada. He's the assistant coach for York 9 now. The way that York 9 runs its program, their assistants are primarily responsible for more of the tactical drive, whereas Jim Brennan is more of the face. So Paul Solitary is essentially going to be running York 9 this year, and I think that's a really good move for them and for a team that looks intriguing this year. He addressed that one of the biggest issues that the Campiel failed to sort of live up to expectations with last year. They did a lot of things right, but it wasn't perfect. The one thing that he felt that really needed to be addressed was the quality of international signings that they brought in. And when you think about it, you know, it's great from a Canadian perspective that all the, you know, best 11 and the gold boot and all that was Canadian, but it's kind of also an illustration of maybe them underestimating with the quality of the Canadian players, which is good. But this year they've gone out, they've sort of collected. You talked about how they're doing things individual. They did something collective that I think is right, even though it's controversial. They did collectively pool their resources to scout the international market to get a better quality of player, to understand mm-hmm. players that would be willing to come, and they had then distributed that through a draft that they unfortunately did not promote, and I think that was the mistake they made, not doing the draft. And we'll be interested to watch that particular aspect of the league pull out. We'll talk a lot more about this, Kevin, on Two Solitudes this week, but it is something to keep an eye on. As you know, it's funny, we get MLS going, and it's like, all right, well, now we have to gear back up for another league. It's a strange little life we live here in Canada, where we have the 2 weeks to follow.
It's a beautiful life, though. I wouldn't have it any other way. There's not a day that goes by that soccer is not the driving force in my day. Some people call it beautiful. Some people call it an obsession. It's somewhere in between. Let's take a break while we ponder this philosophical sentence, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie, joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, Dwayne just mentioned the Two Solitudes Soccer Podcast. It'll be recorded tomorrow and available tomorrow also on our Patreon page, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Our premium podcast feed, $2, $5, and $10 a month, give you access to a plethora of premium podcasts for your listening pleasures. And now we're back, Dwayne, on Soccer Today. We're going to talk about maybe the weekend in hindsight in a couple minutes. We've talked about Giroud, Campiel, Higuain to DC. One more thing that is not only gathering the attention of the entire worldwide web, world, planet, and if other human beings exist, I'm pretty sure that somewhere on Saturn, if such a thing exists, they're talking about the coronavirus there as well. And the coronavirus, of course, is making everyone scared, but at least also prepared. And Major League Soccer's, I guess, emergency situation is starting to be prepared. There is a task force looking at the coronavirus with a Major League Soccer perspective and how to prepare or get, I would say, protocols in place in case of, I would say, an outbreak or something.
Yeah, I think when you're talking, if you want to really listen to our thoughts on this, listen to Five Rings, because the Olympics are really threatened by this at this point. We've already talked about it on a Five Rings show. We're going to address it on this week's as well. That has me legitimately sad and scared, because it's my favorite event ever and it's now in danger, which of course is a minor consideration when you're talking about the health of people. But nonetheless, that's you can get our thoughts there. But when it comes to MLS and the North American response to this virus, I think there's a truth that lies somewhere between the it's just a flu crowd and the well, I'm going to wear a surgical mask to bed crowd. Somewhere in the middle there is the truth, and I think we just need to be vigilant about it. There is not enough of an outbreak that is tied to transmission within North American contacts in this country yet, or in the United States yet, to justify a complete shutdown like we've seen in Italy, Iran, and China. But certainly Japan certainly is coming in part of that as well. But it's something that we're going to have to be aware of, because, look, they're shutting games down in Serie A. They shut down the entire 2 weeks of schedule in Switzerland yesterday. The Japanese marathon was canceled. The Tokyo Marathon was canceled last week. They're obviously very concerned about the Olympics. They're concerned about the European Championships as well. This could affect a lot of the sport we love. That is small potatoes compared to what it's trying to do, which is to stop an outbreak. You know, these events can be rescheduled, removed, even forgotten for a cycle. That would be unfortunate for the athletes, but it can be as long as we keep the world safe. But yeah, so it is definitely something to keep an eye on as this continues to be hard to get a handle on.
Some baseball Tokyo 2020 Olympic qualifiers also have been canceled and postponed over the last couple of days. So a lot of events, a lot of things happening in Asia and around the world. Of course, transport hubs around the world have been mostly affected. Dwayne mentioned Switzerland. There's a couple of reasons why places outside of just Asia have been affected also. But it is time to be vigilant, and of course you have to be ready, and MLS has a task force. You can find more on that on MLSsoccer.com in multiple places, but MLS is working behind the scenes with their task force to look at how they're doing everything right now, look, see if there's need to be change, and maybe even things to preventable and prevention work for down the road. Basically, also, everyone, after you're done listening, go wash your hands. But don't just wash your hands. How about you wash your phone, too? That's something we need to add to wash your hands. I think it's wash your hands and wash your phone.
Just don't dip it in the pool because your phone ain't going to work after that.
No, but there's I have one right here. It's called a screen touch cleaner, and it does kill bacteria because guess what? Your phone's probably more gross than your hands.
Yeah.
On that note, bon appetit, everyone.
Fair enough. I have a beard, so I'm not willing to talk. Anyway,
do not put what's in your beard on a petri dish. You'll shave tomorrow morning. That's for sure.
Whatever.
No, exactly. What you know? What you're probably immune because of it. So that's a good thing. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. We can go on Queen Baby Syndrome. Look it up. Google up. Anyway,
exactly. Do not use Purell. Now do, but when you're a kid and you're for your kids, actually have a dog. That's what people are saying. If you have a dog, you're 70% less at risk of allergies and of a lot of disease. So how about you get a dog, everyone? And dogs are great for yourselves. Trust me. But now let's talk about Major League Soccer's Week 1 with Hindsight Dwayne, the graphic department of the Sports Podcast Network, graciously made this before the show. I know, I love it too. But on that note, what is your overall thought on Week 1? It finished. We had more than 24 hours to ponder the results, to absorb all the news, and to calm down a bit after watching a lot of soccer. But what stayed with you from Week 1?
A couple things. One frivolous. We'll start with that. Why didn't Miami wash the Red Sox with the white pants? That's the one thing that jumped out at me.
It did look like that.
If you're gonna wear pink, folks, wear pink, like hot pink. Hot pink is hot. I wear pink all the time. Well, salmon, as they like to call it, when you're male and
I'm wearing
retro.
I'm wearing a pink shirt.
Pink, folks.
I know you can't see me, Dwayne, but. For people listening, they're like, yeah, Kevin's wearing a pink shirt right now, which I am. And it's actually a bit more pink than the shirts of Miami. But yeah, I agree with you. Why not? And if you're going to make the shirt white or pink, make it either white or pink, not somewhere in between. Because we're all wondering, is that kit white or is that kit pink? Are the shorts pink? Is it all white? Is it all pink? I'm confused. I still like it because, well, I kind of dig flamingos. Don't ask why. Don't ask why, but I kind of dig flamingos.
There you go. It's the sock and the wash. Cletus kid is what we're going to call that. But anyway, my other more serious thought, my last thought of the week, was that we saw two more expansion teams launch this week. And look, as the excitement in Nashville was palatable. We'll see how they sustain that. You know, they're going to press a record of the sound noise and give it to some random fan every game. They're really amazed at embracing the Music City.
Why not?
City stuff.
It's kind of records are being broken or pressed every day at Nissan Stadium that there's a game, so that's something.
Yeah, and you know, quickly, obviously there was some terrible news in Nashville this morning that we do soft spoke to those folks. I'm not trying to make a light of that, but
the tornado, by the way, I just want to mention it. Dwayne Tornado, David Akam, striker of Nashville SC, and his family are safe, but they were affected by and touched by the tornado. Go to his Instagram and social media, and you can look at Nashville news. There was tornadoes in the Nashville area, and where there's some players that are living right now, and they were affected by the tornadoes.
Yeah, exactly. We try to, you know, be aware of the world around us, but try and stick to sports when it comes to this, because people listen to us not for that news. They listen to us for the, you know, relief from that news. So at any rate, moving on, you know, Miami, we haven't seen them play at home yet. You know, the excitement will probably be there. But what I do want to say is that there's got to be a cap to this expansion stuff soon, right? Like, we talk about this a lot, but you can, I think, see the quality getting a little bit worse each time. And I think MLS has to be careful to not, you know, kill the golden goose, to stick to their guns on this 30 for a few years, because this is getting a bit saturated at times. And yes, it's a global marketplace, but you do have to rely on domestic talent too. Mm-hmm. And when the domestic talent dips and your global marketplace, you know, can fill that into a certain amount. I mean, I just don't think that there was a lot to be excited about with the play of either Nashville or Miami in terms of, you know, comparing it to certainly an Atlanta in the past or an LAFC. And it's going to be much difficult, even with a lot of money, to replicate that moving forward. So that was my general thought, is that I'm a bit disappointed in the quality out there. I would have liked to see. It's fine. They were good goals. There were lots of stuff. And maybe I'm being a sore sport here, but I just think that it's starting to get watered down a little bit, and we need to stabilize this. And it's going to be another 2 years before that happens. But
well, there's four more teams before that happens, but maybe that's an encouraging thought that Don Garber didn't mention, Commissioner Don Garber, before the game in Nashville on Fox, talking to, I forget her name, but she was with Alexi Lawless. They were talking before the game, and he mentioned, yeah, I know a lot of people talk about, oh, is it going to stop at 30? And he kind of was more stern about the 30 than before. Before, it was like, yeah, 30, but, you know, I think maybe it's a hard 30. As of now, maybe it'll take a couple years to get to maybe it's a hard 30 and a soft 32, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, look, the NHL and MLS have a lot in common, I think, when it comes to the expansion stuff. You look at the NHL through the 90s when they were adding a lot of teams and really trying to explode into, you know, a bit different there because they had a specific market that they were trying to target that they were underserved in. But they stopped at 30 for a long time. It was, what, 15 years before the 31st team? And
up until a couple of
years. Another couple before 32, right?
Exactly.
So that, maybe that model might work.
Yeah, maybe it does. And I think that's similar. And I think you're onto something here. Not only, I think MLS can look at itself, in the United States at least, and even in Canada for that matter, but it's a smaller presence in Canada, can start to compare itself to the NHL now. Like, if you're looking at salary-wise, maybe not, and revenue-wise, maybe not. So there's still leaps and bounds to go until you get to the amount of money invested in hockey players versus soccer players, at least local ones and stuff like that. So, but looking at the size of stadiums and attendances, and it's a different level, a lot more games. So there's a lot of big leaps and differences, but slowly but surely, at least, on a one-day basis, MLS events could rival NHL events on a one-day basis and on a different scale for sure. But here's my thought on week one. With hindsight, I'm going to put that beautiful graphic up one more time for our video listeners. By the way, if you're listening to us on podcast, this show is live on Twitter at Soccer3ESPN and Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. And we are on YouTube and Facebook if you would like to see our faces and the graphics and everything. If not, our podcast version is always available at Sports Podcast Network and everywhere you get your podcasts also. But Dwayne, my thoughts on week number one, I've talked about it since Saturday 1 p.m., set pieces. I think it's going to continue to be a topic of conversation. It always is, and then it fades away, and we see goals, but I think it's one of the ways this year that I'm going to call it the great equalizer. I think when your teams that are not as big as the new ones, and if your team's like Miami, maybe if you spend more time than other teams on set pieces, you'll find yourself with a couple more victories than you would otherwise. And 3 6-points might seem trivial right now in March, but 3 points on October 4th means a lot. Set pieces is the great equalizer for teams that do not spend as much as the LAFCs and the Atlanta and the Galaxy or Miami. So maybe teams like Montreal and a few other teams like this, if they take the time on the training pitch, maybe not to the extent of 30% of their training dedicated to set pieces, because that's a lot and you need to factor fitness and game mentality and chemistry and instinct on the pitch that is developed on the training pitch. But I think set pieces is and will probably always be the great equalizer in soccer if you dedicate enough time to it.
Well, you got to dedicate to defending them, too. TFC defends that key piece in the final kick of the game. Nice shot, but defend that a little better, close a little bit better, and they have 3 points in the road and a much different conversation than in their home opener. And, you know, that's the story. There's always a yin and a yang, right? You talk about set pieces being an equalizer for weaker teams. They can be a defining factor in terms of the defensive aspect for strong teams, because if you are a contending team and you don't allow silly little mistakes like TFC did in their first week, then you become, you go from contending to perhaps holding silverware or standing in confetti at the end of the season, Kevin.
Which is a big, big deal. And my last thought on week one with hindsight goes to Vancouver, goes to the Whitecaps, and it's a very small sample size. It's one game. But there's one trend, and I've been talking about it with some people in Vancouver, actually the host of Fine Lines, JJ Abrams and Dan Riccio. Dan, we've had that on the show multiple times, and I hope you listen to their podcast. JJ Abrams covers the Vancouver Whitecaps for the province. Great journalist from Vancouver. And we were exchanging on social media yesterday. And to me, it's the service of Lucas Cavallini. Where will that service come from? He's a type of striker that, yes, he's big, he's strong, he'll create a few chances, and he's going to be a big presence in the box and therefore set pieces, and also there when balls come to him in the air or as service, but he needs that service. And right now, this seems to be a big issue with the Vancouver Whitecaps and will be an overarching narrative until it is resolved.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of overarching narratives until things are resolved in Vancouver. Look, it's a long season. Here's my final thought. It's a long season, and very rarely does the first week narrative play out for the entire season. I will remind people that two seasons ago, Orlando City had a six-game winning streak, and were top of the East in May. They lost like 11 of their last 14 games and finished well out of the playoffs.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. MLS will get to you. That's what happens. It's that type of year. Maybe we'll see something surprising coming out of Orlando, or maybe not. Yeah, it is fascinating. And so far, hope is still present in 25 teams out of 26. Atlanta, hopes have gone down a bit, but you know, welcome to real life. That's how it feels to follow a soccer team. Welcome to Major League Soccer, Atlanta fans.
Exactly. We'll talk more about the Joseph Martinez situation when we learn more. But until such time, Kevin, as always, I'm going to let you say goodbye.
You can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN. Subscribe to our podcast feed if you are not already. Available almost everywhere you get your podcasts, and very soon available everywhere you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of The World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. Until then, you can find our archives and a lot more at sportspodcastingnetwork.com, and you can find our premium podcast feed at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Two Solitude Soccer Podcasts will be recorded tomorrow for Patrons only. Five Rings Podcast, Olympic Podcast, the longest running Olympic podcast on the planet since 2014. We'll be back tomorrow with another coronavirus edition. But as always, until then, for Dwayne Wallens, I'm Kevin Laramie, and we wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.